Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to a live version of Keep Me on Mancini Media with our chieftain, great Mark Mancini. And I'm Eli here in beautiful metropolis of Speedway, Indiana, home of the Indy 500. And Peg, are you here?
Yep, I'm here, Eli. I'm in sunny Sarasota. Hi, everyone.
You know, it's sunny here, but it's, you know, it is a Great Lakes state, so it's still cold.
Did you get snow?
No, we did one day this week, a little bit. Not a whole lot, enough to be an irritant. It's kind of like me when I was in school. It's just an irritant.
I doubt it.
I would never get, usually never do enough to get suspended, but I was a constant irritant. I remember a buddy of mine I played football with, his dad was a vice principal, and I remember him grabbing me once and slinging me up against the wall. We could do that back in the early 70s, and telling me I was a detriment to Wayne Township schools. But I was pretty good at running into things really fast with my face. So they continued to let me play football.
That's probably why you have back problems today, huh?
You know, I played till I was 38, Peg, so.
That's amazing. You know what? We already have two callers. Dalen from Chelmsford, Massachusetts says, "Hey, guys, this show is dope. Keep it going." Thank you, Dalen. And Francis from Visalia, California says, "Where is the rest? Drunk somewhere?" And we're up to 123 listeners so far.
Wow, 123. I love odd numbers. Yeah, there's a couple of dotes on this show, all right? Two dotes and the beautiful pig.
No way.
That was Siren of Sarasota. Oh, Lordy. I swore I would never move again when Stacy and I got married a couple years ago and moved down here. We're moving back to the Beverly Hills of Indiana, Carmel, Indiana. Matter of fact, we've got most of our stuff up there. We're prepping this house to sell. So if anybody's looking for a really nice shotgun house, it's been totally redone inside, new roof, all new appliances. And you want to move, live within 60 seconds, the greatest racing facility known to mankind, the Indianapolis 500, come buy my house.
What's a shotgun
house? Is that a shameless plug?
What?
It says, is that a shameless plug for my house, Peg?
No, it's perfectly okay. There's probably somebody out there who'd love to be close to the
there's a guy going to come look at it Monday that wants to is it for one of those bed and breakfast places. I'm not sure how my neighbors are going to feel about that, but Evan, who lives next door, is about the size of a oversized door and not fat, and a big iron worker dude, so I don't think he'll have any problems with people.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people are doing that with the bed and breakfast now. I wonder how that really plays out. It seems like a really wonderful way to make money, but I imagine there's a lot of
they're really trying to tighten down on that in Indianapolis. I know a former Pacer player and Purdue player had a house in the nicest part of Indianapolis. It's obviously, if you're a professional athlete, you expect to live in the neighborhood. He was renting his out and called there so many times, ended up with people getting shot and all kinds of stuff that the city got an ordinance and got him shut down. And the little town I live in, Speedway, although I like to specify I live in Old Speedway, we're a little different than the rest of Speedway. We're a quiet little community right off Main Street. But anyway, they're really cracking down with town ordinances on it. It just brings in a lot of trouble, like I say, to the blocks, you know, especially people who have them for the weekend or create a lot of problems for the neighbors. And I don't want to do that to my neighbors. I've lived here 10 years, and I like them all. And
Yeah, we have
really like
right across the street from me, we have people who've turned our friend's house into a Airbnb, and there hasn't been any problems at all with that. But it, you know, it's a quiet neighborhood, and although we're probably 5 minutes from the beach,
it tends to be families that they rent to.
Yeah.
Oh, Peggy.
Well, it used to be five minutes. It's probably 15 minutes now. We've got so much traffic.
When it starts cooling off here in August late September, I'm going to come down on the vacation. I'll sleep on your porch.
I don't know if they'd be very comfortable on the porch, but it is beautiful. Today was a gorgeous day. I was at my friend's house, and we were swimming in the pool, and it was great. It is a lovely place to live in a lot of ways, yeah.
I'm going to get screwed because, you know, I like to boat and swim and stuff, and surgery I've got coming up pretty much prohibited from doing anything for 90 days. And, you know, obviously I don't want to get in a lake or anything with open wounds in my spine.
Oh, my
plus,
gosh.
Plus, it really screws me. I'm getting a new tattoo. You know, I had to get a tattoo for a couple of years. And, you know, they got to wait from when you had your last tattoo. Or the guy I go to is a, you know, very upfront tattoo guy. He's not out to make a buck. He's out to do quality work while making a buck. But he won't tattoo you if you've had a recent surgery. And he's, you know, so he's used to me going for extended periods without them because, hell, I've got this will be placement part implant number 5 and 6 for me, and probably 6 to 12 months after this, I'll get my shoulder done. So I'll have at least 7 implants. I'm going to be RoboCop, Peggy.
You are. You're going to be Superman. I can't believe it. It must be kind of scary.
About 15 years ago, I was really quite pretty heavily muscular and have this big square jaw and, you know, had short cop hair. And my son's, for if we have any comic fans out there, Kingdom Come Superman. My boys thought I looked exactly like Kingdom Come Superman. Matter of fact, I posted a picture one day on Facebook on Superman's birthday. My face inserted in there, and the boys are like, I told you, Dad, you'd be perfect. Now I'd have to be fat old man Superman.
Nah. So you have all these tattoos. What are your tattoos of? What do you, kind of tattoos do you have?
My left calf, and it goes pretty much my entire calf, is the French poster of a 1933 King Kong, the real King Kong. He's standing on the – it's very Art Deco. It's gorgeous. I get compliments on it, literally. People stop me twice a week to talk to me about that tat. It's a beautiful color. I'm kind of olive, so it's got a lot of colors that really go well with my olive skin. And he's standing on top of the Empire State Building with his lady friend and smashing an airplane, which I really like. My right thigh, my entire thigh, is all the way up to my hip, is a expressionistic German depiction of the Frankenstein monster inside a cell. He's hanging on a big big beam, and he's reaching out, like, for help. And on my right thigh, I've got a Celtic cross for the god of thunder. Then my right ankle, I'm friends with Jerry Only, leader of the Misfits, you know, greatest punk horror band ever. I've got a Misfits fiend skull on that calf.
Wow.
My chest has got a Serbian Orthodox cross, you know, with the three crossbars and the four C's for we Serbs. It also has a beautiful rendition on the other side. The Serb cross is over my heart. The other side of my chest is a beautiful bird. My favorite thing to read is Percy Shelley, the poet, and it says, "Hell to thee, blithe spirit." And I always told my kids, never get bands, although I do have a Misfits, but I know the guy. And never get boyfriends, girlfriends, names or initials on you. There's a woman, Peggy, that had open pills of her, and I did have her initials hidden in the bird tattoo. So if you look hard at it. Yeah. Now my forearm, or let's see, right forearm is the Bride of Frankenstein, a very beautiful pose. That's Stacy says that's the only woman she'll allow me to cheat on with her. So, I mean, who wouldn't want a giant 7-foot reanimated chick with red hair, no less? I got a thing for redheads. My left forearm is a Frankenstein monster, and my tattoo guy is very clever. Hidden in it are little like half an inch tall people from Young Frankenstein. The castle behind the monster is not the Frankenstein's film castle. It's Young Frankenstein. So he hides little things like that in my tattoos, which I think makes them great. Then I got my very first tattoo on my left shoulder, Mighty Mouse. That was my name in football because I was so little. I only weighed about 250, 255 pounds, which is not very big for a lineman. And what else do I got? Oh, I got the double-headed, stylized Serbian eagle on my left bicep. Right bicep is the Spider-Man mask. In the 60s, he had a light on his belt, which showed the Spider-Man mask. Then in the 90s, I those bands were a big thing in the 90s, so I got it banded with this Todd McFarlane web. Let's see, what else do I have? I know I've got more. I can't think of what they are. Isn't that terrible?
Wow.
Yeah, I got quite a few.
I've never had a tattoo. Did it hurt?
You need to get one, Peggy. No. No. Actually, they've got
I don't get one now. When am I going to?
Can use to numb the skin.
Oh.
I tell you what it feels like. It feels like somebody's got a fingernail, and they just keep rubbing you with the finger. They smear you with Vaseline, and they're just rubbing you with a fingernail really hard. That's what it feels
like. Oh, really?
Like.
That's not so bad.
Yeah, you should get one.
I don't know. I'm kind of a chicken when it comes to – I'm not really into needles very much, but I guess it wouldn't hurt if you had, you know, your skin numbed and stuff.
You know, tattoos are kind of like redheads, Peggy. You know what you call a 7 a redhead?
What?
An 8. An 8. You know what you call a 7-6 with a tattoo? An 8.
That's a good one. Hey, I don't know what I would get a tattoo of.
No, all mine mean something. They really do. Like the Kong, people ask me about why I got it. I tell them, well, I can't do this in like 30 seconds. It'll take, you know, 5 minutes. But it, to me, it represents, here's this place, you know, everything's running good there. This native population's got this big entity that's a god to them. They live their life, and once a year they, you know, sacrifice somebody to their god. They live in peace and harmony, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think this is partly because my mom's a Shawnee that I feel like this. A bunch of white guys come in and decide, hey, we're going to film a movie here whether you like it or not. Then they decide, they find Kong, and they're like, hey, we can exploit this and get rich. So they destroy that that little island's culture, their religion, their economy. They destroy everything, get their god out of there. They bring it to America. I'm not picking on America. They bring it to Europe. I don't care. It would be the same. They bring it to where, they find out they can't control as much as they like, so they destroy it. So they destroyed this one-of-a-kind creature, and they've destroyed this whole island. Ruined everybody's life.
Hmm.
Kind of the way I feel happened to the natives.
Yeah.
My mom. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those hate America, blah, blah, blah. And,
I think
the truth, and if you can't face the truth, you should probably start learning to face the truth.
Yeah, it's it seems like people who the people who came to the United States originally had, you know, they were escaping some situation that they were uncomfortable with in their native country. Then they come here and they assume that they're right and everybody else are, you know, savages or whatever. They're just not equal at all. It's kind of really disturbing, especially the Native American thing. It just breaks my heart when I think about what an awful thing that was.
You got to factor this in. But then different tribes, you know, different groups like, you know, Algonquins hated so-and-so. Then you had the Northern Plains hated the Southern. They did the same thing to themselves. It's just they couldn't compete with the technology. You know, I think that's pretty much. That's why all these people. We aliens come. They'll be bringing us so many nice things. I'm like, no, they won't. So they'll step on us like ants, because that's what we would be intellectually to them if they have the ability to get here. I think that's fairly constant. Everything.
Maybe they'll octopuses and they'll be gentle and kind and wise.
You know,
there's the theory that octopuses are really alien creatures. Because they're not related to anything else. Yeah.
I got to read about that one. Although, speaking of octopus, you know, I love horrible movies that just gut-wrenchingly bad that a normal human probably couldn't sit through them. I saw one from 2011. I saw the cover to the DVD, and I can't believe I never found it. It's called, it's a Japanese low-budget horror movie called Giant Woman versus Big Octopus. So I've got to research, find a copy of that. I love trash TV and trash movies.
It's always interesting to see how low-budget films kind of can carry a message but can be kind of really rough around the edges but fun.
Oh, you know what? They're putting their – at least they got it done. They're putting their heart and soul in it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I have a number of friends who – done movies, and it's so much goes on behind the scenes that it's really an interesting thing to watch.
Yeah.
Oh,
and like a lot of people make fun of, but you know, I'm like, you know what, the guy or the gal, they got their life dream, their goal done. They made a movie. What have you done? Sitting on the couch watching Friends.
Yeah, that's true. So, what have you been eating lately? Since we're talking about food.
I was going to get to my dietary consumption. Megan, I have to say, it's not been good. Smooth's got everything screwed up. I don't make nice dinners for myself or Stacy this week or last week. And I've been eating a lot of crap, but not good crap. You know, sometimes I like to eat crappy food. I really do. I did manage to eat a couple expired things this week. I found this barbecue. I know it sounds terrible, and it wasn't. It was buffalo wing spiced cauliflower. You know, and you throw the packet in the microwave, and I thought
buffalo wing.
And I thought it would be horrible, but I thought, you know, I'll make a sacrifice for the show. I'll eat this. It'll be tough. I dug around in the stuff we were moving and found another bag, and I'm going to eat it too.
Was that good, huh?
Good. It's kind of like, sometimes cauliflower or rice cauliflower comes out a bit soggy. It was almost like eating a thick soup. And I ate a jalapeno with it and a small little burger covered with provolone just because I was throwing what I could find in my mouth. We were so busy. And that was one expired thing, and I found a Spam that was expired like 3 years, but I thought, it's bloody Spam. It doesn't matter if it's 30 years old. I'm going to eat it. So I did. I sliced it up, and you know me, Peg, sliced Velveeta on it. And I put Velveeta on both sides of the Slam Cutlet, or the Spam Cutlet, then grilled it. Oh, my goodness. It was actually exquisite.
That's good.
Got to use real mayonnaise. No, none of that miracle work crap. Put real mayonnaise on there with 10 spice of red onion and some lettuce. You know, I put the vegetables and mayo on after I cook it. You know, peel it open while it's all melty. gooey and good. And of course, I have to cut it at a 45-degree angle. You know, I think it's
cool.
Blasphemy to sandwich down the middle peg.
Yeah, it's definitely not a connoisseur way to eat it, just cut down the middle or not cut at all.
I like to cut mine at 45, and I line that big old knife up just right, because I am obsessive over angles and stuff. I know I drive poor Stacy crazy.
How are the dogs doing with the move? Whoop. I'm sorry.
Hank is probably the most nervous. Savannah lived there before, you know, before Stacy and I got married. We're moving to Stacy's old house, and Savannah's cool with it. Libby, she likes it because she has a yard to run in now. And she goes out and runs in the morning and then runs again at night. Then she comes in, sleeps for 23 hours. Beulah doesn't care. Beulah ain't goes out long enough to do business, and she's back in the house. And the Dorgie, he's nervous and apprehensive, although we did have a dog fight, not between our dogs. Stacy's daughter and her boyfriend were there, and somehow Savannah and the other dog got in a fight, and Savannah got her skin broken because she bled on the fight part. Savannah's a Basset.
Oh.
She's black, white, and tan. And you could see blood. I mean, she's a lot of blood back there, but they were all together, and next thing we know, Savannah's all bloody.
Aw, she's so sweet.
We must have been talking about politics. That's why we don't talk about politics on Eat Me.
We try not to. We try not to think about it if we don't
have
to.
We want
to
have fun. Yeah.
Right.
I hope our listeners aren't offended by this, because I really do love our listeners. I don't care about your politics. You want to talk about politics? Go fight with your family.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to live in Florida and not be hit by politics all the time, but I suppose every place is.
Excuse me while I laugh at your predicament. Yeah, because you guys have got, let's just say, it's in the national news a lot down there.
I tell you, I don't know if you could find a stranger mix of politics anywhere. It's very strange, but we're not going to talk about politics. We try not to
right.
think about
you know.
It.
Right.
We try not to.
I'll become in 2025 for sure, because Universal Studios theme park's going to open that new park with the classic Universal monsters. So, you know, I'll be there.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of, have you ever gone to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal?
No, I haven't. I've only been to Universal once.
Peggy.
I'm kind of not. The theme parks sometimes are so crowded. The nude
one
beaches.
September.
And the
nude
places.
Beaches in the warm day. Yeah, nude beaches when it's warm. I go to the theme park in September. But that's when I used to always go take my, and we could literally get off one of the busiest rides and walk right back and get right back on it. There's nobody there in September because we go on weekdays, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's the time to come is in the fall. That's really the best time, and once it starts to cool down, it's even a little better.
98 degree sunlight on a parking lot in line for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's. I think the last time I was at Disney, that's how it was, and it was just, you know, I'm not a big ride person anyway, and there were so many people, and it was so hot, and like a peanut butter sandwich. This was quite a while ago, but a peanut butter sandwich was like $10 or something. This, you know, and I increased the prices on the park so much too.
My God, yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it's really big business. Everything's gone up, you know, but it's, when you go to the grocery store and you see everything, you know, a dollar higher every time you go to the grocery store.
Yeah. Little crappy cuts of meat are like $14. You're like, good Lord.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be a vegetarian, but I may have to start, Peggy, except for Spam.
Well, you got the cauliflower working for you, so that's a good thing.
I do.
Cauliflower has kind of a bland taste to it.
Well, see, when I make cauliflower, when it's not, and I'm not eating the rice bowl crap, I like to take it and lightly toss it in a little bit of olive oil and put the seasonings on there and bake it about 425 for about 17 minutes. It comes out really good and tasty, just enough to get the edges and the, you know, the exposed parts are crispy. If you want a little extra crispy, broil it for a couple of minutes on high. And you'd be surprised the difference.
Huh. I'll have to try that. I was on St. Patrick's Day. I was so hungry for corned beef and cabbage, and I couldn't find it at the stores. I guess some stores had it, but the grocery store I went to didn't have any left. It's only like one or two times of a year that I think about it, but I was really hungry for that. What did you have for St. Patrick's Day?
Well, Dawson's on Main here in Speedway has a special of corned beef, cabbage with potatoes and carrot and some kind of Irish bread, and I had a leprechaun to drink, and they were all fantastic. Carrot was a little I ate it anyway. Yeah, it was, and it was on like a platter, so it was quite filling. And it, you know, so I St. Patrick's Day was fat kid Saturday for me this year, even though it was Sunday.
Well, I suppose if you're going to have that surgery done, you got to keep yourself really in pretty good health, as far as you don't want to be losing too much weight now, right? Or is it better to lose weight?
I think it'll help me. I'm still heavier than I want to be. I don't like being a little bit heavy, and I'm sure it'll help my back if I do lose some more weight. I'm pretty skinny at like 235 pounds. I mean, I've had people tell me I would get down under 230 that tell me I need to gain weight that look like I've got AIDS.
Really?
I used to have muscles, Peggy. Now I don't. But I used to go to these weight guess things with my kids, you know, and they would always guess me 215, 220 pounds. I'd step on the scales and weigh 250, and they're like, "What do you got in your pockets?" I'm like, "Nothing. It's called muscular density."
So when you jump in the pool, you sink to the bottom, huh?
I did. I always sink. Never could float very well.
Well, that's because you just were too muscle-bound.
Not anymore. Now I just look like an old man.
It is kind of
except
scary, isn't it?
My hair looks good, Peg.
I know. I saw pictures of you on Facebook. You look great. Nobody would ever think that you were older, more seasoned, as we like to say.
You can say that. I'll be 68 this year. It's crazy. I tell people, that's why I let my hair grow. I'm like, if you're my age, you still got it all, and it's still dark, because my 50th high school reunions this year, I never been to any reunions, and I never had any desire, but I was talking to some buddies, and I'm like, you know, I think I'm just going to go just to show off my hair.
Is that in West Virginia? You went to high school, or was that in Indianapolis?
Indianapolis, Ben Davis. Hey, Mr. Mancini says we're up to 213, Peg.
Yay. Come on, folks. Just keep coming in and asking us some questions.
That's right. We want to answer some questions. I'll answer a question about anything. I can't speak for Peggy, but I'll answer a question about anything. May not like the answer, but I will answer it.
I got a birthday coming up on Easter. So I hope the
It'll
Easter bunny brings me something fun. Yeah, 39. That's what it is. I'm not even going to say what it is and scare everybody away.
No, we know. I tell them the truth. I tell them you're 39.
Oh, that's nice. I got a... Darius from Tallahassee, Florida says, Easter brunch is the best. Happy birthday, Peg. Isn't that nice?
Are you a ham on Easter, Peg?
I really don't know. Sometimes Haven't really decided anything about this year yet. We'll have to see. Something interesting. I don't know. I don't know what. Usually, I guess we often do have ham, but sometimes, you know, it's going to be just four people. So I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Well, you know, I've told you before, I'm Eastern Orthodox, Serb Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
And I observe the old calendar. So this year, mm-hmm. like most years, I'll have two Easters. So I do what I call the normal Easter, you know, the 30th of this month. That's my, like, Easter bunny, chocolate candy type Easter. Then on May 5th is the Orthodox Easter, which we don't really call it Easter. It's Pascha. Matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
old farts older than me yell at you if you call it Easter.
Pascha.
Yeah, what a,
so what do you eat for Pascha?
We Orthodox have to have a diet for everything. And you know, we also do Lent, everything. You know, we're basically Catholic, but not Roman Catholic. We eat a thing called Pascha bread. It's, it's just it's the Easter bread. It's a sweet bread. We have meat, eggs, boiled eggs, the red. The red egg red Easter egg has a specific significance to us. It symbolizes new life and resurrection. We have a sweet cheese called Pascha cheese. And for meat, we have usually ham, although occasionally we'll have a sausage and some lamb. We have to have a bitter herb. We were at one time tied in with the Jewish folks. And, that's about it. Like I say, I prefer lamb, but I don't mind ham.
Are you going to have a Easter egg hunt and dye Easter eggs and all that kind of stuff?
No, we're too busy with the move and getting the house ready. I'll hide some Easter stuff for Stacy around the house, but leave it outside.
Sweet.
Dogs will eat it. You know, we got all those hounds, and they've got those great noses.
Yeah, I wouldn't dare put anything out in the yard with Sydney. I think would sniff anything out and probably eat it without even tasting it. She just swallows anything in sight practically, except French fries. She hates French fries, which is odd.
Hates French fries? Oh my
God. She hates French fries.
No.
French fries and lettuce and vegetables and sometimes she'll eat blueberries, but she's not a big fruit eater either.
Well, I didn't eat French fries from the time I was like 19 years old till right around 50, Peg. So about 30 years I didn't eat French fries. And then I decided, you know, I don't care. I'm going to start eating French fries again. And I eat them maybe once a week. I don't go overboard on them. Yeah, I still like to eat them. And here's the thing. I dip mine in mustard.
Mustard.
Carl Chilton is proud of me. I also dip tater tots in mustard.
Really? I like mustard with some things, but I don't know about French fries.
Oh yeah. Trust me. Just dip, just take a little, put a little mustard on your plate one day, Peg, and, you know, tap that French fry in there and, I think you'll be surprised. And even breakfast potatoes, like when I make hash browns or skillet potatoes, I always eat them with mustard.
I know a lot of people put ketchup on their eggs, but I don't. I like them just kind of with lots of cheese and stuff.
I have to eat ketchup on it, at least when it's scrambled, although I really don't want to do it. I may do it just so I can say I have done it, because I haven't done it since I was a kid. My mom used to make us eat them that way, and
oh, we have a caller in. Albert from Poway, California says he had shrimp scampi, mashed potatoes, and nice blue cheese and a salad. That sounds yummy, Albert. And we're up to 289 listeners. Yay!
I know. Blue cheese is something I never liked. And then about don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I started eating it. Now I like blue cheese. I like blue cheese dressing. I like blue cheese in salad. Sometimes I just like to eat blue cheese.
I just don't like the smell of blue cheese. I think it's like Limburger cheese. What's the other cheese that's like that, that's got the blue veins in it? It tastes good if it's mixed with the right stuff, but it's got kind of a really strong smell to it.
But you threw me for a loop when you said the blue veins. I thought my grandma's thigh or calves.
Oh, no. So how about Jell-O shots? Are you going to have...
Oops. Yeah, if I come and sleep on your porch, you can at least give me some Jell-O shots, Peggy.
All right. Classic. Oh, and Terry from Boca Raton says mac and cheese here with stuffed clams. Ooh, that's interesting.
You know,
I've never heard stuffed clams with mac and cheese.
Oh,
that's good, though, Terry.
Back up because the mac and cheese caught me. I love making homemade macaroni and cheese. Yeah, if it comes from the store, I don't want it. But man, where you get a really nice homemade one and breadcrumbs and bake that bad boy and bring it out of the oven and slap it on everyone's plate. I mean, oh.
Lots of cheese on it too. Yum, that is good. So, what kind of desserts do you have on Easter? You have?
Yeah, we eat a lot of pastries mostly. They have a lot of nuts in them and honey. It reminds you of baklava. And Gary from Newberstown, New York, he hit the ball out of the park here. Ribeye steak, medium. Garlic mashed taters, coleslaw, and bread pudding. He's 6'3" and 225. Oh, he's skinny like me.
Ah, I bet he's tall and good looking, huh?
There you go, Peg. You're having a birthday,
yep.
Gary.
Hey.
You need to come down
hey,
and sleep on Peggy's porch. Buy her dinner.
To 308 listeners, I guess we're getting more interesting now. The numbers are going up.
Yeah. And I appreciate every one of those listeners, and I apologize to all our listeners. Last week we had did you guys play a recorded episode, Peg? You weren't live last week.
I didn't hear which one. I know that we didn't go live last week because you were in pretty tough shape last week.
Yeah, the big dummy here was the cause of us not being live last week. We had crap all over the house we're moving into. I've got a couple of little rat dogs that, I can't see running around the house when its lights aren't on. And so I fell over to avoid falling on one of the rat dogs. And Stacy had this old drive-in sign that she puts on the wall. It's, we fire it up so the lights flash in it and stuff. And when I fell, like I said, I'm getting ready to have back surgery, so I didn't want to fall flat on my back. So, and when I did, I tried to grab my arms out for balance, and my finger, right finger next to my pinky, hit that stupid sign, and I am a notorious bleeder, so it cut me, and I bled like crazy.
Oh, no.
My back was throbbing. I had to go get the finger taken care of. But everything's good now. I managed not to fall down.
Well,
I used to worry about my fall. Now I worry about my back.
The back pain is the worst, isn't it?
I have no cartilage or disc in my bottom three vertebrae. Then a little ways up, I've got two that I have about a third left. So they're going to cut those up, insert the screws, the crossbars, then the straight up and down bars, and give me a bunch of artificial disc. I'm going to have high vertebrae
fused.
Yeah, so I'm going to be pretty stiff in the waist for the rest of my life.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so scary and painful.
Right now I can't stand it. I literally can't stand it. And, you know, I played ball with broke bones. Hell, when I got my joint replacements, knees and hip, I never took any pain meds. I didn't need them. I mean, but this hurts 24/7. I got injections to see if that would help with my surgery time. And when he asked me to evaluate at the surgeon's office Wednesday, I said, well, instead of being in a constant 9 in my seat and 5, I said, it makes it a constant 6. So I never get any relief. And now I've started getting these stabbing pains in the night. So I wake up constantly, can't get any sleep, and I'm a poor sleeper anyway. And I'm just so exhausted from it that I'm actually sleeping until the, nerves wake me up. I'm looking forward to it. Reading the all the paperwork about what could go wrong, and I'm like, good Lord. Hey, the fearless leaders here. Hey, Mark.
Well, I'll tell you, you guys have been picking up steam, and people are bringing more comments to the forefront. Let me get to some more of these guys. Steve from Corvallis, Oregon, a regular listener to the shows. Basically says, give me some liver with those mashed potatoes and minestrone soup. I don't know about the liver, and I don't know about minestrone soup.
Well, I'll eat the soup, but you can keep the liver.
Yeah, I'm not a liver. Yeah, not a liver guy. Let me get another one, because we got all these food comments coming in. Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania says, lobster with the garlic mash and Manhattan clam chowder. That's good.
That sounds good.
You know?
Good for
yeah, so we got some comments. one more. Jack coming in from Corpus Christi says, guys, you got a great show. Keep up the good work. We missed you last week. Just give me a meatball sandwich with a lot of provolone cheese.
Yeah, there's my kind.
There you go.
that's a lot of hilarious things there across the board, but man, oh man, is it nuts. Hey, I wanted to touch bases a little on the Dodgers and the Padres. They played in Seoul, South Korea today. I know it was an early rise on the West Coast, but it was like 6 in the morning your guys' time, 5 maybe for you, Eli, but boy, imagine playing 2 games in Seoul, South Korea, and then coming home. So they've expanded baseball into these foreign countries.
Wow.
It's all TV dollars, Mark. We know that. The same with the NFL. You know, they're headed down to South America now, in addition to Europe. I think they really will be world leagues before long. You know, you can't really play them because the travel, the jet lag would just screw you up. Can you imagine flying to Australia to play a game?
Oh, gosh.
Well, that's the thing. And you know, getting back to your comments before with inflation and talking about prices and stuff, it's getting to the point where I will tell you this. I had a friend go to a local department store out here, kind of like a Mervyn's type, Kohl's type, one of those type. Bought a pair of Nikes, bought 3 pairs of briefs, 6 pairs of Nike socks. He said it cost him $164.
Wow. You should go on Amazon.
I have way too many suits. I love to buy suits, and I've pared down since I met Stacy. I've only got like 11 or 12 now. But I was thinking about getting a new one, and I looked at the prices, the place I like to go, Brooks Brothers here in Indianapolis, and I about gagged. They're not. I mean, Brooks Brothers makes nice suits. But they were advertising. They're like $1,700. I'm like, good God, I can't spend that.
Wow, that's a lot.
No, I don't mind spending $7, $8, but man.
Well, it's amazing prices of these things go. I mean, you know, I can understand women undergarments going being expensive, but men's briefs, a three pair for like $35, and let's face it, for guys that wear the Nike socks, they're never cheap. You know, they're never cheap, the Nike socks. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, but I think what it's going to come down to, guys, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is, like you said, Peg, they're going to go to, like, the Amazon type of things, or they're going to just secondhand, you know, type of places, you know, like a Walmart or something to get cheaper things, and, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, I just think the way it's going, people just can't afford it, and there's more and more of these people becoming homeless.
I can't imagine putting kids through school now. My babies are 33, my twins, and my other ones are 39 and 42. And, you know, I sent them to Catholic schools, Mark, Peg, you know, and with tuition now and the cost of everything else, I could not afford it now.
Yeah, the cost of schools, even the cost of daycare, it really is a lot of strain on, especially the young families. It's tough.
My wife watches the little 2-year-old because not only as far as daycare being expensive, who the hell can you trust these days to watch a kid?
Yeah. Amen, brother. That's one thing I do like about our spying age that we live in now. You can put those little micro cameras all over your house.
Other than that, you know, it's you know, with the price of stuff, and, you know, we talked about the sporting events and the Go to Anywhere. The prices have gone through the roof. I'm a Goodwill shopper, so I'm not afraid to admit that. And, man, oh, man, there's some great deals you can find there. So, if you know, it's all the time an issue with those things.
Yeah.
I like to kind of treat my family splurge on her shoes, like dress shoes, and suit. I like that. Other than that, I run around in gym shorts and a hoodie.
I just discovered the best socks. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but have you ever heard of Bombas socks? They're pure cotton.
Sounds like it's a lot of fur in them.
Like heaven. No, they're really, they just feel really wonderful. And they're like $27 a pair. But they're really incredible in that they're worth it. And I'm not really a socks person because we don't wear socks very often here. But when I recently injured my tendon in my foot, $27 for one pair, and it's over $100 to get three pair or five pair, whatever they come in groups. It's crazy.
Wow!
Hey, we have 400 people! Yay!
Right on.
12 minutes left.
Have you been paying any attention to NFL free agency, Mark?
Yeah, I like what the Steelers did. They got rid of all three quarterbacks they've had for a couple of years. They couldn't throw a football if it was on top of them through a pole. And then they brought in Russell Wilson, who I think will be the comeback player of the year. Brought in Justin Fields, and they're doing something smart. They're kind of doing what your team is doing. The Green Bay Packers letting the guy hold a clipboard. They're going to let Justin Fields hold a clipboard for a year, learn the system, kind of like what we saw with the Marinos and Elways, Eli and Peg, and then let them loose. And I think that's the way you need to do it. The one thing about Kenny Pickett that was traded, I just don't understand a local kid that grew up in the city falls out of favor with the city, and then they have to get rid of him. I think he sealed his fate on a couple things. He didn't want to suit up in Seattle, and he didn't want to suit up for the playoff game. So I think those two things pretty much sealed his fate as far as Trubisky and going back to the Bills and Mason Rudolph going to Tennessee. Good luck with those guys. But I think the biggest thing is, what the hell were the Chargers thinking getting rid of Mike Williams?
They don't think they had any choice, Mark. I mean, it was either that or one of their stud defensive linemen. I mean, I hate to say it.
Well, Harbaugh's a guy that, you know, kind of wants to bring in his own guys, but I like the Rams with the Garoppolo pick up Garoppolo. Don't know what the Raiders are doing with Garner Minshew. I know he had a big year in your neck of the woods, Eli, but, you know, just Atlanta got better with Kirk Cousins. So the Redskins loaded up with defense, including Bobby Wagner. So now it sets the table if they can work a trade to get Caleb Williams move up in the draft to get the number one pick. They got Ertz there. They've got Austin Eckler as the running back. So I like what the Skins did. Very surprised the Cowboys didn't make many moves.
No.
Yeah, so it's very, very interesting.
Two of my three, you know, my favorite three teams in order have always been Packers, Jets, and Colts. I think the Packers have improved themselves at running back, and I think they're going to have a stud at safety, the kid they got from the Giants. I think the Jets are going to have an O-line this year, so that'll pay off well for A-Rod. Colts have just been sitting on their hands. I'm curious to see what that's about.
Hmm.
Yeah, that should be an interesting thing, but the basketball team is pretty darn good.
Yep, yep.
Hey, let me get to this question about, Bill coming out of Bellingham, Washington says, guys, I like the topics of this show. You guys have opened it up. It's quite different than you guys used to run. Keep up the good work. By the way, do you have any interpreter jobs so I can swindle $4.5 million from a ball player? Wow. Well, I don't know if you heard it, guys, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, kind of like a boyhood friend, ended up betting $4.5 million worth of money on events wired out of Ohtani's account. I don't know how you lose that kind of money, but the Dodgers fired him. He was making $300,000 to $500,000, and I just don't understand that. It reminds me of the situation. I don't know if you heard about it, but yesterday in Minnesota, the Timberwolves fired a guy that went in an office, took somebody's hard drive, downloaded it, and tried to bring it back. But the forensic guy looked at it and said, well, this has already been downloaded. So interesting. Two guys, 2 days. I guess it's not about the relationships. It's about just me, myself, and I and grabbing the money train.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, unfortunately there. Yeah.
Presents a here, Mark, back in the 70s, a supermarket in Indiana, and this lady had been swindled by her accountants. So as she got old and sold the chain, she pocketed, let's say, we're talking 1970s, Mark. She pocketed $10 to $11 million. She was afraid of banks because she got swindled once. So she kept all the money in her house. Her name was Marjorie something. And
wow.
So her house caught on fire, and unfortunately she died. But talking to some old-time cops when I got hired, let's just say a bunch of firemen helped themselves to grocery bags and trash bags full of cash. But she they recovered $4 or $5 million out of the house even after the fire.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
I'm sure some guys retired soon after that fire.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's unfortunate when you look at all that kind of stuff, and it doesn't make sense. You're living off the gravy train, and yet you get greedy enough to want more and more. Then you don't have nothing else to do except maybe fraudulent your guy that gave you a job. It just doesn't make sense.
Gotcha.
I just understand these guys.
Yep.
What are you gonna do? Let me bring in this other one as we get ready. Man, this show has just gone so quick. Matt coming in, and he's coming in from Goodyear, Arizona. I guess that Goodyear. I've heard of Goodyear, Arizona. I don't know if that's where the Dodgers play. I've heard of that. And he basically says, what about these ball players that screwed themselves with Scott Boras? Three guys that thought they were going to hit the bank end up taking less. Cody Bellinger, Matt Chapman, and Blake Snell. Blake Snell was a guy that signed $62 million, two-year contract with the San Francisco Giants. Before that, the Yankees offered him $150 million. He turned it down thinking he was going to get close to $200 million. Oh, my God.
Oh,
what
my
an idiot.
God. Oh, my gosh. That's ridiculous.
What an idiot. What an idiot. You got greedy on that one. Any comment on that, Eli?
You know, I would probably be a professional sports general manager's kind of player. If I'm already making $70 million, I would rather use my $30 million raise to acquire more talent to help them win. If I got $70 million, I'm living pretty good.
$70 million? I can't even get my head around that. Wow.
Yeah. Well, not only that, it seems like with about 3 minutes and 30 seconds left in this show, let me wind it down in about 30 seconds. What I get a kick out of these guys is when they didn't get what they want, so now they have to settle for the $62 million two-year contract. They get on there and they try to put a straight face on after they got robbed. And they try to stand there and say, I've always wanted to be in this city and I've always wanted to be a Giant. Really? If you had the opportunity to take the $150 million again, I'm sure you'd take that and better yourself, you know, $88 million. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable the way these guys ask for the moon. They're given a substantial amount. They get greedy, and they end up having nothing. And we've seen this in a lot of sports, not these guys, but we've seen it in a lot of sports. They gamble. They think they're going to get, you know, everything that's coming to them, and then they find out, well, we're not going to sign. You know, we'll play out the year. We'll go sign after the season. A la DeMarcus Cousins, who broke his leg, never was the same, and left millions and millions on the board. As we wrap this great show up, I can't wait to do it next week. We got the hour in place. Eli, we'll start with you. How can everybody get a hold of you, my brother?
You can look me up as Max, M-A-X, like Mad Max, Raisovich, R-A-I-S-O-V-I-C-H, on Facebook. Just send me something on Messenger. Put Eat Me on there. I'll know you're not talking mean to me. And I'll open it up and get back to you.
Wow. And before I give it to you, Peggy, I want to get this last guy in. And this guy is coming in from Watertown, Mass. Joe says, a great show. Wants to talk about his friend that's trying to get a pedicure. But he says he hasn't cut his toenails in a long time. Good luck with that. Just get a chainsaw. Nobody's going to do that for $20-something dollars, giving you a pedicure with a toe that hasn't been cut in a couple years. That should be a topic for next week, Peg.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. A lot of Dial soap in that one, my friend Joe. Make sure you pass that along. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, Peg.
Actually, you can go to me on Facebook, too. It's just Peg Palmer. And you can message me. I'm the Peg Palmer from Sarasota, and just message me, say it's from the Eat Me show, and I'll be glad to respond.
Yeah, don't put Eat Me Peggy on there. Just make sure you know how to type that in.
Yeah,
definitely.
Really.
Yeah, exactly. For the Peggy Palmer out there in Florida, Sarasota, Eli Raisovich in Indianapolis. Here's truly Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel for an hour. Till then, thanks for hitting the 400 mark. We'll talk to you next week. God bless you guys. We love you.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening.